Welcome to Garage à Toi. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. This is Marie, and you're joining us for episode 15. 15! We're so glad you made it. Stick with us today to get advice on handling Zoom etiquette, learn what happened this day in history, and find out what we think of Women's History Month. This is Garage à Toi.
That was beautiful, Marie. You're so pro. I love it.
We're trying. Thanks, Anne.
You're going to get hired as a voiceover artist. I just have a good feeling about this.
Ooh, that would be fun.
I think you'd actually be really good at that because I feel like you have a very pleasant voice, but also I feel like you've got some like crazy voices that you could get into that you've maybe just never revealed.
Only to my children.
There's scary mommy and no.
Get in the bath, girls. Goofy mommy. Yeah.
Was that like goofy mommy from a goofy movie?
Maybe.
I've never seen it. Have you seen a goofy movie?
With a mom that's super goofy?
Oh, well, I hate to say this, but I don't think that there is a mom in that movie. I believe that Goofy is a widower.
Oh, the Goofy movie. Like, actually, the character Goofy, yes. I thought we were just talking about being Goofy. But you're talking about Disney Goofy.
I realized as I was saying it that the name is a play on words.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how stupid that it's not called The Goofy Movie. And then I was like, oh, they're using Goofy as both a proper noun and an adjective. It's a goofy movie.
So confusing.
Wow. But no, I don't believe that there is a mom in that movie. And I only know that because my little brother was obsessed with that movie when he was little. And this was like back in the day where you'd like watch a VHS. And then if you were fancy, you would have that little machine that only rewound the tape.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a tape rewinder?
We did not. No.
I don't know what that says about us because I think of myself as someone who grew up, I'm not going to say poor, but without a lot of money. Money insecure.
Okay.
And the fact that we had one of those while literally the back of our TV like hung open because for a while there you had to like turn the TV on pressing the back of the TV, like the electronic components. Oh, no. I feel like that kind of reflects like poor moral hierarchy in our home. I don't know. We don't need to overthink it. But Tommy was obsessed with the Goofy movie and I revealed to him recently that I've never seen it. And there's a BuzzFeed article that has these like cute little like fun facts about it and I read it and I was like, this means nothing to me.
Did you send it to Tom?
I did. And yeah, he was like, duh, and I'm like, no, I didn't know any of this.
I don't get it.
Like, I think one of the voices is Alyssa Milano or something. Like, there's a lot to it that I just have never experienced.
Well, Goofy movie 2 part 2, I'm gonna audition.
You're going to be the long-lost mom. She wasn't dead. She had just abandoned him.
Her family.
Oh, no. And you're back. Are you Goofette? Is there a girl Goofy?
I'll have to do some research. I have no idea.
This is an important question. Because I feel like if he doesn't have a female counterpart, he might be the only one.
That's like solo?
Yeah, I think Pluto has a girlfriend.
Oh.
Obviously, Mickey has Minnie. Donald has Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Googling this. All right. Help me move on from a goofy movie.
These important questions will be answered next week on Garage à Toi.
I'm literally Googling goofy girlfriends. And what came up was Mrs. Geef. All right, we got to move on. This is upsetting.
No idea.
Yeah, also Clarabel Cow came up. I'm pretty sure that Goofy's not dating Clarabel, but okay, that's some bullshit. We'll get back to you guys. What else is going on in the world?
We're given some advice.
Because we're so wise? Because people loved our shoe advice?
I think so.
I do feel like it's a moment where I think that I've asked for more advice in the last year than I ever have. Because it's like, you just don't have the inputs that you would normally have.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
What is this person daring to ask us advice on?
This is a good one. It's for the times.
Okay.
My boss was rude to me on Zoom. Should I confront them about it or just let it go?
No, that's sad news. And just to clarify, this is not you asking that advice.
No.
Okay.
I'm my own boss right now. Actually, no, the kids are my boss. The kids are the boss of me.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, do you use scary mommy voice?
Sometimes, but then I catch myself and then I'll just be like, I'm sorry. Mommy was stressed out. I flew off the handle. I'll like immediately apologize.
Say sorry.
Yeah.
You're and I so bring them involved. In for a
hug, regardless if they want one or not. They're getting a hug.
This is a very personal question, but are you a spanking household?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
I grew up in a spanking household.
I was just going to say, yeah, I feel like you and
it was not fun.
I feel like I had sort of similar upbringings. Although I was raised in a very strict religious environment, and I don't know if you were. You went to Catholic school.
Catholic, yes. Not super strict, though. I mean, I ended up pregnant in high school, so. It was more of like, don't ask, don't tell, maybe, in my
I don't feel like you becoming a teen mother is evidence of not growing up in a strict household. I have seen Footloose. I know what that does to people, including myself. So, definitely got spanked all the way up until, like, I think the last time my dad ever spanked me, I, like, mouthed off to him when I was, like, 15. And he grabbed me and just, like, walloped me. And I remember being like, I'm calling social services.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay, so this person said their boss was rude to them on a Zoom. I have, of course, as always, clarifying questions. But should we assume that it was in front of other people? I have to think so.
That's what because if it was just the two of you, then I think you would breach the conversation right then and there.
Yeah. Or at least have a reaction. You know, like,
right.
I have had a couple experiences recently. I had a very uncomfortable experience with someone on Zoom where it was one-on-one. And I was so shocked by what was happening. The person was being sort of weird to me that I just didn't respond at all. And so then there's that like giant gap of silence where then they have to like fill the space, and so it just got like more and more awkward. So I agree with you. I think that this probably happened in front of other people.
Yeah, and the fact that it's the boss, that makes it a little more
complicated. Yeah,
that sucks.
What do you think?
I mean, I definitely would just be like, hey, I would put it in the perspective of like, hey, everything okay? You seem kind of off the other day or something. Like, breach it that way, maybe. Like, hey, I noticed maybe something's going on with you, and that's why you were rude to me. Or like something, I don't know, like that maybe. What do you think?
So that's interesting. You're going to like kind of put it on them. Like, are you on your period or something?
Well, no, not necessarily. But like, instead of being like, you're a total dick to me, like, why? I don't know. I guess you can just. Why were you such an asshole yesterday, boss man?
No, I do feel like that is the tension, is this idea of like, how are you supposed to go to someone and say, hey, you said my slides were sloppy in front of a bunch of people, that really embarrassed me, without them like totally retrenching and getting defensive. And,
right.
You know, like doubling down. on the insult without you being able to go to them and say, hey, is everything okay? I can't imagine saying that to a boss. Have you had bosses where you felt like you could be like, hey, what's wrong?
Yeah. Their emotions are very hot and cold, so you can tell, like, okay, this is not going to be a good day, or like, oh, he's in a good mood. This will be a pretty easy day. Like that kind of boss. So yeah, I would always be like, hey, everything all right? Like,
what do you say when someone asks you, is everything all right? Because I get like super defensive when I'll be like, yes. Or, you know, like, I don't think I've ever been like, I'm having a hard day.
Oh, really? I think if it was pretty bad, like, I'll probably just start crying or something. I'm kind of emotional. Like, if something gets to me, like, it has to be something really bad. Like, I don't know.
What if you're being icy, though? Like, what if you know that you are, like, kind of being naughty? Like, in this scenario, the boss probably knew that they were being a jerk.
Yeah.
If you were to come to them and be like, is everything okay? You seemed really annoyed in that meeting. Do you think they'd be
with me or something? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they'd be like, no, everything's fine? Or do you think they'd be like, I'm afraid I'm not nurturing my team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess a boss probably wouldn't just like lay all their cards out, right? They got to maintain some professionalism, maybe they would think, and not share something like that with someone who worked for them.
It's such a good question.
It is blurry.
It's, yeah. Huh? It's the essential question, because I feel like when I have been in supervisor relationships before, it is like a real relationship. It's not like a parent-child relationship. But yeah, you have this situation where you have more responsibility. You have more authority. I would argue you also have a responsibility to be more respectful to people. But it ends up being a very asymmetrical relationship, which is like, you know, they probably are worried about something, but do they get to share it with their direct report? Or, you know, I think your mom point that you made about apologizing to the girls, I think that's a great point, which is like, are you also, should you be proactive about apologizing and being like, hey, this is awkward, but I was too rude to pop off to you like that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Nip it in the bud right then and there.
Yeah.
Because then it'll, you know, start to simmer, and then bad feelings will be, you know, I don't think maybe the person wouldn't be able to let it go. I don't know, you know, if they don't get it solved, or I don't know.
Yeah. Like, is this something that you would quit over? Maybe that's a good question. Is like, is this a deal breaker? And if it's fuck them. And if it is, have the conversation, because otherwise you're going to have to switch jobs, or, you know, like, you're going to get disenfranchised.
Yeah. Or like, it was in front of your whole team, and they're kind of like, now they're like, oh God, like, embarrassed to be seen with you.
Oh, now that is a really good point, which is, I wonder if you could say something like, hey, I realize you were frustrated with my slides, but you really embarrassed me in front of everybody. If you have feedback for me, I'd love to get it privately.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Perfect.
That was heavy. At least they didn't ask us if they should move in with their significant other or not.
They're getting easier.
Okay. What is happening? It's Women's History Month. We've been celebrating on this day in history, which I find deeply delightful. What do you think about Women's History Month? Give me your unvarnished opinion, please.
I honestly didn't know that March was
Women's History Month.
I kept hearing it and seeing it in like headlines, and I'm like, oh shit. I should know this. I am one of those.
One of these. I do think
one of these.
It's changing a little bit. You know, I feel like the umbrella for who we recognize as women is getting bigger, I hope. So I also feel like that's been a fun element for me to be really aware of this year, this month, is just adding recognition for trans women. ACLU is doing this whole campaign right now about pronouns. So I think that's been pretty cool.
I love it. I've seen more promotions for like women-owned businesses or small businesses run by women of color. And I'm like clicking through those articles all the time.
Love it.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Women's History Month. I'm like, this is good as long as it's intersectional. I really don't want this to just be like white ladies high-fiving each other. I don't know. I feel like the celebratory months sort of inherently represent the system because someone got them approved enough that they were being used in, you know, magazine editorial calendars and stuff like that. With it like naturally representing a system of power, it's like if people are not trying really hard to make it inclusive and intersectional, it's like, what's the fucking point?
Exactly.
So what happened on this day in history? Do we have anything fun or notable?
Yeah. I love this one. 1985.
Okay.
Moonlighting.
The TV show.
With Sybil Shepherd. The TV show with Sybil Shepherd. She was spicy in that. And Bruce Willis. They had some chemistry.
Did you watch that show?
I did.
I absolutely remember watching that show.
Yeah.
I don't know what the plot was now that I say that out loud. But they were like a will they or won't they.
Right.
Super spicy. She was really fiery. I remember them almost exclusively in like office, like an office setting.
Yeah. I want to say it was like maybe a PI.
Oh my God.
That's what I want to say. He was like the guy, he did all the dirty work and she was, you know, like ran the show, you know?
That's right. I just had to Google it. They were a detective agency. Oh my God. I love this.
Oh.
A young Bruce Willis. Sybil Shepherd. I was just watching my favorite show in the world, Psych. Say hello to Harry for me. And she plays the mom on Psych. And she looks fantastic.
I love me some
Sybil. Do you?
Yeah. I remember that she was a pretty powerful character for a woman back then. 85, I
think.
Yeah. Like. She was kind of ahead of her time.
I love it.
Me too.
Yeah. And they were, oh man. Moonlighting people. I wonder if it's streaming anywhere. I might have to get me some moonlighting streaming.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
That's so funny. I wonder.
It's like a book club, but we're only watching and talking about moonlighting.
Okay. Hold on. Did we just come up with a new podcast idea?
Yes. Please.
Marie, I'm totally serious. Okay, guys, you heard it here first. We're going to have to come up with some clever pun around the name moonlighting.
Oh, I'm so down.
And we're going to totally watch this. Even if I have to like buy the fucking DVD set at Costco or something, we're going to make this happen. I don't have a way to play DVDs.
And also a DVD player.
Also a DVD player. It's got a 97% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God.
And I knew to insert the word fresh in there because I have been listening to the Rotten Tomatoes podcast where they review films. But it's like popular films. Like the one that I started listening to was National Treasure.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't wait to watch this and discuss this with you. You know what we should call it? We should call it the Blue Moon Detective Agency podcast.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Did anything else important happen on this day in history? I can't imagine anything more important than moonlighting premiering on ABC.
Well, here it comes. Anne Sullivan begins to teach 6-year-old Helen Keller, who had become blind and deaf after severe illness at the age of 19 months. Helen went on to travel the world as a disability rights advocate, and she was also very woke.
Helen Keller was.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, Let me read you a quote. The few own the many because they possess the means of livelihood of all. The country is governed for the richest, for the corporations, the bankers, the land speculators, and for the exploiters of labor. Damn. The majority of mankind are working people. So long as their fair demands, the ownership and control of their livelihoods are set at naught, we can have neither men's rights nor women's rights. The majority of mankind is ground down by industrial oppression in order that the small remnant may live in ease.
Helen Keller said that?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow, I have so to woke. Admit, I did not know that she was so politically outspoken.
I didn't either.
This is fascinating. I am not really super familiar with her life story other than the fact that her teacher would sign into her hand for them to communicate.
Yeah.
And that she was very outspoken on issues of disability, which I think is really neat. It's interesting. There are videos of her actually speaking out loud, and people were super shocked to find this out. But I guess because she started off having some hearing, she was able to develop some language, I guess is my understanding of that.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it just really helps kind of create a three-dimensional person instead of this, like, you know, scene that you see in the movies of, you know, like Annie Sullivan, like pumping the water and like signing. And that was her like big epiphany of understanding what the signs meant, was feeling the water and understanding that Annie Sullivan was like signing the word water. That's sort of iconic. Ooh. Maybe even apocryphal. I would hate to be like, oh, you know, what I know about Helen Keller is totally fake. But that's really interesting. What a woman before her time. Good pick for Women's History Month, right? Mary.
All right. Now for Hero of the Week.
We need a hero. We're holding on for a hero.
We're holding up on him. New Mexico Rep. Deb Haaland is President Biden's nominee for Secretary of the Interior. I hope I pronounced her last name correctly. She's a Native American, Laguna Pueblo, and would be the first Native cabinet member ever.
Go, girl. Ever. Go, Deb.
Go, girl. Go, Deb.
Go, Representative. You said Haaland so confidently. I was like, wow, she must have looked that up. Like, good for her. Yeah, let's just say Haaland. She's a badass. I think the fact that she would be Secretary of the Interior, specifically the fact that a Native person would be overseeing domestic matters, would just be like the fucking coolest thing. I read an article that was saying, you know, that obviously Native Americans have a very fraught relationship with the federal government. And so the mm-hmm. Native community has had sort of mixed reactions to what it would mean for a Native person to be part of a federal cabinet. But when we talk about representation, it's like, oh my God, like give this woman a seat at the table. You know,
right. The first ever that we seem a little behind on that.
That's crazy to me.
But it's amazing.
And it looks like she is going to get nominated. I know the Office of, I always get the acronym wrong, Budgetary Management, OMB, Office of Management of the Budget, nominee withdrew this week. And they're saying that it was total racism, total sexism by Congress for objecting to tweets that she had sent out previously that were controversial, but not, you know, not over the line. She wasn't saying, you know, like racist things or anything, but she was just tweeting controversial opinions. And this is the same Senate who confirmed Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court Justice, who had this super controversial past. And they were like, no, it's too controversial. And people were like, fuck that noise. That's some bullshit. But it looks like Representative Haaland, we're going to look up how to pronounce that. We're going to get back to you guys.
Yes.
just got Susan Collins to say that she would vote to confirm, which is a really good sign on the Republican side of the fence. So go, girl.
Oh, yay. Go, girl.
All right. I love this part. This was Marie's brainchild in their family. They do roses and thorns. Good news and bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchforks and halos.
You know it. Yays and boos.
Are we going to start with good or bad? Okay,
we'll start with bad. Yeah. We'll end on good. Okay, so our thorns for this week, shortly after voting to acquit Trump at his second impeachment trial, Senator Mitch McConnell delivered a scalding denunciation of Trump from the Senate floor, calling him, quote, morally responsible for the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Now, less than a month later, the Senate minority leader, who looks like a mummified turtle to me, has said that he would, quote, absolutely support the former president again if he secured the Republican nomination in 2024.
What do you think is happening? What the fuck?
The fuck. What the absolute fuck? I have no idea.
Do you think that he has like dirt Trump on all of that? Grip. I just have felt literally physically so relieved not to have to see his face in the news every day that I just cannot imagine going back to that.
No.
What's the point? No. Do they really have such a dearth of leadership that they have to go back?
Right. To someone who didn't win?
That, like, but also never just happened. Like shat actively on all of them. He was such an unsafe person for all of them. Plus he's 74 now. He would be 78 when he ran.
No.
Just like enjoy your time off, sir. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually interesting already. That he came up with that because I feel like there is a real hesitation on the part of that generation to create succession planning, step back and allow younger generations to lead. And, you know, I hate to be like, oh, the boomers, but it's like, what are they thinking? They're not going to be around forever. And for the sake of good government, we should be cultivating the leaders of tomorrow. And instead we're trying to run a guy who's 78.
Yeah, boo.
Ageism, I'm aware, but also get a grip, people.
Get a grip. Find a new nominee. All right, another thorn. Going back to Texas. Oh, yeah. Texas Governor Greg Abbott lifted the state's mask mandate, even though only 6% of Texans have been vaccinated. Individual businesses have had to take to social media to inform customers that they're expected to mask up because this pandemic is far from over. 45,000 Texans have died from COVID-19, and there have been 2.6 million cases in a state whose population is 29 million. I hate it here has begun trending on Twitter in Texas due to Abbott's announcement.
Hot off the heels of freezing everybody's balls off where almost 100 people died.
Yeah, why?
And then he's like announcing, and what I saw people reacting to also was he opened up all of the restrictions. So like here in California, you know, it's no indoor dining. And then the next year is 25% indoor dining. He lifted all of that and the mask mandate. And so people have been like,
so it's just gonna be a
people have been like, why not just lift one or the other? Like, you're just putting this back on us to have to deal with it.
Right. And businesses are going to be, if they require you, because it's their personal choice as a business owner to require patrons, you know how much shit they're going to get from these people that are like, oh, Abbott said, bleh. You know, it's like, why put small businesses and people like trying to get back to work like through that?
It's horrible. It's just this free for all. It's so frustrating. I feel like those people have suffered enough.
Exactly.
Boo. Bad job, Greg Abbott.
Boo. Boo. Retire already.
should check and see how much longer he'll be okay. in office. We can have a countdown.
Ugh. Boo. Okay, now for some good news, some roses. This I saw from ESPN. The U.S. Soccer Federation's National Council formally voted to repeal a policy that required players to stand for the national anthem. The policy was originally passed in 2017 and stated, quote, all persons representing a federation national team shall stand respectfully during the playing of the national anthems at any event in which the federation is represented. The policy was first adopted in response to U.S. Women's National Team midfielder Megan Rapinoe, who knelt for the national anthem before a 2016 match against Thailand. She did so in a bid to show solidarity with then San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, of course, who had knelt during the anthem prior to NFL games to protest racial inequality and police brutality. The killing of George Floyd in May of 2020 and subsequent protests across the country led to the Federation to reconsider its policy. So they're moving in the right direction.
I don't really understand how we became a country that required people to stand up during a song. Yeah. Like, when did that happen?
Oh, shoot. Mark Cuban had the best response because he has also said he won't play. He's not going to play the national anthem before any of the home games for the Mavericks. And he tweeted out to everyone that was like pissed at him for doing that. Go be mad at your boss for not playing a song before you start work, your work day. And I was like, oh my God, brilliant. Like, why?
Why? Why? Although I feel that way about saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, the Pledge of Allegiance? Am I, like, in the Secret Service? Like, what is that? I'm a civilian. I don't have to pledge allegiance to anything. And I was protesting my property taxes last year. And ahead of the hearing, this was so funny because it was pre-COVID. And now I think I was, like, in a room with 13 other people at the county offices. And I'm like, looking back on it, I feel claustrophobic. And before the hearing started, they made us stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And I was like, motherfuckers, I'm here to tell you to tax me less. You think I'm feeling very patriotic right now? well, good for Colin Kaepernick. I have such deep respect for him. He has really blossomed in his activism and I think is finally being recognized for it. Yeah. Probably in the last year more than ever before. Megan Rapinoe, right. I remember I was trying to say Rapinoe and then during I think it was the Olympics or the World Cup, it was like, oh, Rapinoe. All right. Fine.
Rapinoe,
must have been the World Cup.
Badass.
She was out early on that and I feel like she's someone who has just been so brave about issues of social justice at a time where I think, you know, she was taking a lot of risks because she wasn't really that prominent of a public figure. And so I feel like they could have disappeared her very easily.
She's maintained, man. She's a true badass.
Thank you, U.S. Soccer Federation National Council, for being decent human beings, for not being fascists.
Jesus. On the vaccine front, Johnson & Johnson was greenlit for emergency use in the U.S. This is the third vaccine to be available for adults 18 and over. Merck will partner with Johnson & Johnson to help boost production. This is good news. President Biden added that with this news, every American adult should be vaccinated by the end of May, bumping that up from his earlier prediction of July. So
that's great. I feel like I'm living the agony and the ecstasy where they'll be like, everything will be fine by summer. And then it's like, we'll be wearing masks through 2022. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, Texas.
I know. That'll, you know, the hurricanes are coming on that. That's so exciting. More vaccines.
Yeah. Yay, vaccines. Everybody go do it. And our last rose of the day, I saw this on Axios. The House voted to pass the Equality Act, which would expand federal protections for LGBTQ people by prohibiting discrimination based on gender, identity, and sexual orientation. 25 states, half of our country, were classified by the Human Rights Campaign's latest equity review as struggling to achieve basic, quote, basic equality for LGBTQ people. Those gaps include a lack of legislation to ensure protections in housing and education. The bill needs at least 10 Republicans in the Senate to move forward. So fingers crossed on that one. Do the right thing.
That's great. That's exciting. I wonder, I feel like so much of this, I would have thought already happened. Like, I thought that the Senate already voted on it.
Right.
I thought that Secretary Holland was already confirmed. Like, I'm finding out so much stuff. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine was approved so much later than I thought it was. Like, they've been talking about it for so long. We're in some weird, like, time wormhole. It's like, everything you thought was happening hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Well, that was exciting. I feel like we've got a lot going on, including launching our forthcoming Moonlighting podcast.
I'm so excited about that. Thanks everybody.
Guys. See you next week.
This has been Garage à Trois. Thanks for listening.